word of the Lord as we were worshiping, and the Lord said, trust me in the timing. Speed bump after speed bump, delaying, slowing the process. Many of my people becoming frustrated. Why can't we go faster? By now, Lord, I thought this would have happened. But don't you know that I am the Lord of it all? Don't you know that it was I that placed the speed bump? You thought it was your failure. You thought it was your fault. There's something wrong with you, the enemy whispered to you. It's your fault that it's not happened. But I want to say to you, as your loving Father, I, the Lord, your Creator, Lord of the timing, Lord of the schedule, and Lord of the pace, I would say to you, don't be discouraged because your due season is coming. You're crossing over the last speed bump. The last speed bump, for surely there is a shift even that is coming in the realm of my presence and the season that you're walking in. Now it will begin to accelerate. Now the Lord says, I have authorized. Trust me in the timing. For Joseph waited long in prison, but in 24 hours, I accelerated my purpose in him and brought him up before the king. Job waited long, and he trusted me in the timing. Abraham, the father of our faith, waited long for the promise to come. Trust me, when the speed bumps come, for the Lord would say, there is that moment where you shift into a new gear and you accelerate and even get airborne. The Lord said, I'm going to lift you up above the problems and above. And this new season, the Lord said, it's coming very quickly, and I'm going to accomplish all that I'm going to do in your life. And you're going to see and look with my perspective. It was you all along, Lord. It was you. You were the Lord of my timing. You were the Lord of my speed bumps. So trust me in the transition. I will never allow you to get stuck. I will keep you moving, and I will accelerate all that I am doing. Get ready. Buckle up, the Lord says. Buckle up, because the pace is about to increase, and my blessing is going to overtake you, wave after wave of blessing, and I will fulfill all my promises, and you will see my goodness, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, I pray for the frustrated today. I pray for those that are like the horses at the gate, and the gate just hasn't opened. But Lord, we trust you in the timing. Now, Lord, may we walk with grace. And Lord, thank you for not allowing our impatience to hurry you along. We trust you, Lord. Your timing is way better than ours. So let a spirit of peace and rest and contentment come to our hearts, Lord. Oh, my soul, rest and trust. Thank you, Lord. Father, let it be our portion today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. You can be seated. God bless you. Thank you, worship team. Wow, it's great to be together this morning. Isn't it a beautiful day and a beautiful season? Are you ready for the Word of God? I want to encourage you to pick up your teaching outline. We print those up for you so you can, you know, dwell on the Word. We put it up on the screens. You hear it with your ears. You see it with your eyes. You can take it, get into the Word of God, let the Word get into you, and it'll set you free. We believe in the Bible. It's our guidebook, and we trust the Word of God. If you're in a battle today, I want to help you. If you're going through some challenges, I don't think there's anybody here today that's losing. But I think there are many people here today that are fighting and struggling. And we're in this series called The Wild, and we're talking about the wild side of God, which may make some of our more tame and passive people a little bit uneasy, but I assure you that there's something wild about Jesus. We think about Jesus gentle, meek, mild, etc. He is. But the same God who caressed the child and blessed the head of a child, also flipped tables in the temple and talked about a kingdom advancing and the violent forcing their way into that kingdom. So there's a side of God and a side of your life that needs to be released. And today I want to talk about releasing your wild warrior, the warrior on the inside of you, because I believe that each and every one of you as followers of Jesus Christ is called to be a warrior. In fact, our God is a warrior. The Bible says this in Exodus 15, 3 through 5, the Message translation says, God is a fighter, pure God through and through. It is his nature to fight. Now, I'm not talking about an angry God of the Old Testament, which so many people are frustrated in hearing about that. That's not the God we serve. But we do serve a God of love, but he loves, and so because he loves, he fights. That is a part of his nature. And the great people of Scripture, the great heroes, the mighty men and women, the great ones of the Bible were all warriors. They knew how to fight for what was right. Hebrews chapter 11 says that through faith's power, they conquered kingdoms and established true justice. They shut the mouths of lions. They put the power of the raging fire and caused many to escape certain death by the sword. In their weakness, their faith imparted power to make them strong. Faith sparked courage within them, and they became, say it with me, everybody, they became what? Mighty warriors in battle. These are the heroes of the Bible. They were fighters. They were warriors. They understood the wild side of God. Now let's define our terms for a moment, because I don't want to be misunderstood. Some people could listen to a message like this and go way in the wrong direction. Matter of fact, that's one of the problems. I'm very grateful for the internet, but let me just say this. You know, the availability of all kinds of teaching and doctrine on the internet is a wonderful thing, and yet so often it lacks context. There's still nothing like the local church. You can listen to something on the internet and go stark raving crazy with it, and that teacher who never intended for you to behave divisively or weirdly with that teaching, they would correct you, but they can't because they don't know what you're doing, because you're not in relationship with that teacher, but you heard it. What you actually need is spiritual fathers and mothers in your life. We need each other so that when we say certain things, we can walk that out in balance and in truth together. Can I have an amen here? So your church is not the internet, I'm sorry. Your church is about having leaders who understand the Word of God and will teach you how to take truth and walk it out. So please don't hear what I'm not saying today. Don't start fighting, you know, people and go arming up and getting weapons and, you know, knives and all crazy kinds of things like that. But somebody surely will listen to this and do something weird with it. Let me explain what I mean by a warrior. There's one American warrior, an actual soldier, that described it this way. I love this paragraph. What is a warrior? What is a warrior? An American warrior said, it's not the guy armed with AR-15 and 30-round magazines. It's the guy who says, this is what I love. This is what I hold dear. It's my family. It's my country. It's the people that I love and treasure. This is my faith. And this is what threatens it. It's the enemy. You will not hurt what I hold dear. You will not hurt what I love without coming through me. What is a warrior? A warrior is a person of wild love. And every parent knows what I'm talking about. Your child may drive you crazy, but let somebody else come after your kid. Oh, it's on right now. It's on for the women. It's on for the men. Because love has a fight in it. How many understand what I'm talking about? And if you love Jesus, and if you love good things, and you love the truth, and you have the values of the Bible, there's going to be a fight in you. There's going to be some kind of a warrior spirit in you. Wild warriors stand between what they hold dear and anything that threatens it. That's the sense that I'm talking about today. And I'd like to see just a little bit more of that in our men, in our women, in our young people. What do we value? What do we love? What does it mean for us to say, like we sang in the first song, if you were here, said, not today, devil. Not today, Satan. Not my kid, Satan. Come on, somebody. No, that's not going to, no, you are not going to be attacking me up in here. That's not going to happen. You are not taking my children out. You're not taking my husband out. You're not taking my wife. There's got to be, at some point, if you love and if you commit, there's a fight in you. You say, well, I want to be a lover, not a fighter. There's really not an option like that. That box you cannot check. I want to be a lover and not a fighter. If you love and something threatens it, the fight is automatic. How many understand what I'm talking about? We're talking about wild warriors today. When was the last time you fought for something? When was the last time you pushed back against the battle that was coming against your family or the things that are important to you? How many of you have been actual American soldiers or Marines, or how many have served in the military? Just wave your hands. I want to thank you for your service. American warriors take an oath, and the oath of office and the oath of military service is all about what you love. Listen to this oath that you took. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I take this obligation freely without any minimal reservation of purpose or purpose of evasion, and I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office upon which I am about to enter, so help me God. Do you hear in that the commitment? Do you hear in that, this is what I love, and so this is where I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand between what threatens what I love, and I'm going to take that very seriously. I heard a comedian years ago, never forget it, he was talking about fighting a bully. How many faced bullies in school, right? He was talking about this bully that was, threatening him and forcing him to, you know, give me your lunch money or I'll beat you up. And so he was smaller, the bully was big, and he was intimidated. So he started to pay the bully. Somebody suggested that he go get self-defense classes, right? And he go learn some MMA from our brother over here. And so he went to go down to find out what it would cost to get some self-defense lessons. And the price of the self-defense lesson was higher than the price of the lunch money. So he just went back to paying the bully. But here's the point that I always take away from that story. At some point, you have to stop paying the bullies. Because how often do we come into alliance or come into agreement? It's just easier. Rather than learn how to fight, we just make a treaty. But in the kingdom of God, you've got to stop paying the bullies. Jesus never paid the bully. He stood. He was strong. There was a wild side to him. We talk about Jesus, the Lamb of God. He was. But he was also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Come on, somebody. And lions don't back down from a fight. And that lion lives in you. So why are you paying the bully? Stand your ground and fight the good fight of faith. And activate your wild warrior. The truth is that from the moment you were born, you and I were in a fight. So I'm a lover, not a fighter. You can't really, there's no box like that for you to check. You're in the battle. And you're either surrendering or you're fighting. And I want to help you today with habits. I want to help you today with temptations. I want to help you with lies that people will say to you and the culture will say to you and pressures that people will put on you. You can't just buckle every single time. At some point, you have to stand your ground, understand who you are and who lives on the inside of you. In fact, becoming a true lover of God, if you really love Jesus and you really love God, becoming a true lover of God is what actually awakens something wild in a warrior sense on the inside of you. You start to look like Jesus at that point. You know, over the years, you know, people say, have you ever had battles? I've had battles with temptation. I've battled thoughts. I've battled accusations. Kathy, my beautiful wife, she actually had a tremendous battle in her life with fear. She really struggled with fear and anxiety, and she's fought and won the battle of fear. She stands in total, and she's able to help people that are going through fear because she's been through that battle. She's learned she doesn't have to pay the bully. She can hold her ground. She can put her armor on. She can stand in the authority of Jesus Christ. When she's under spiritual attack, she knows what to do. I've seen battles of sickness come within our community, within our church family. I've seen division at times. I've fought against the wolves and the dogs that try to come in and peddle their deceptions and half-truths and little insinuations that they make and try to turn people off the right track. There are many battles in life, financial battles. I'll never forget the battle we got in. I mean, we've fought the battle for girls being trafficked here in our cities. We had a major initiative that we did 2013, 2014, to stand up for trafficked women. We're still active in that. We fought that battle. We put our money where our mouth is. I will never forget the battle of the late 90s when our church was at another location in Willow Glen, and we stood up for the unborn. There was an emphasis that came to our city. We aligned ourselves with it. And we could not have imagined the battle that took place. It was in the newspaper as 50 mounted police officers on horses had to protect and guard our church property. I was followed by people threatening my family. They got in their cars and followed me trying to figure out where I lived. It was violent. They were throwing burning Bibles at us. You know, sometimes when you say, that's enough, now we're gonna say what we believe and we're gonna stand our ground. We weren't rude about it. We weren't violent about it. We weren't vicious about it. But we were just standing for the unborn. And not everybody's gonna be happy with you when you stand up. But I'm telling you, you can't pay the bully off. Sometimes you have to stand your ground. I'm not trying to make you into a like some kind of a crazy fringe person. I'm just talking about the very basics of living for Jesus Christ and following him. It's a fight. And my question for you is, are you paying the bully or are you in the fight? I want to encourage you. Maybe you've been on the fence. I don't think anybody actually plans to backslide. I think it happens slowly by degrees over time. We start paying the bully of pornography. We start paying the bully of anger. We start paying the bully of addiction. We just make treaties with all of it. Then pretty soon we've got 1 foot in Sodom and 1 foot in the promised land. And we've lost our fight. We're not fighting for our values anymore. We're not fighting for holiness. We're not fighting the battles of sin. Or if we are, we're fighting in our own strength. Let me promise you something. The Lord fights alongside you when you fight the battles of life. And he'll never leave you or forsake you. But the question is your strategy to pay off the enemy or is your strategy to fight? I'm calling you to fight. I'm calling you to stand your ground because there are things worth fighting for. When you're under spiritual attack, here's what I've learned after 40 years of full-time ministry. I've had all kinds of battles, financial battles, every kind, doctrinal battles. Here's what I've learned. When you're under spiritual attack, you got to fight back. Don't pay the bully. Fight back. Let's ask ourselves, what do we love? Let's ask ourselves, what do we value? Do we love our family? Do we love our community? Do we love our neighbor? If we do, it means there will be times where the mama bear, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the daddy bear has to kind of rise up and a little bit of wild has to show. A little bit of strength. If we really love God, will we worship him? Don't make our worship team beg you to sing. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, somebody shouldn't have to beg you to share your testimony. There should be a joy and a readiness and a wildness in us, a passion for Jesus Christ to live this Christian life. I'm talking about a life of love. You say, well, that doesn't sound like Jesus fighting. Do you have any idea how hard he fought for you? He loves you. Do you believe that? When did he fight for me, Pastor? He fought through the agony of the cross, crucifixion, the cruelest means of death. He fought and overcame the grave and was victorious. And why did he do that? Was he a victim? Did people gang up on him? I'll tell you, he never paid the bully. He stared the cross right in the face. He went through it because of his passionate love for you. God is wild, and he is wild for you. And when sin had control over you, Jesus didn't pay the bully. He fought for you. Look at Romans chapter 5, the Passion Translation. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. When we weren't even savable, we weren't even interested in salvation, he fought the battle for us. Why would he do that? Why would he go through the excruciating pain, the humiliation, the degradation of crucifixion? Why? Because he loves you. Now, how many understand what I'm talking about? Wild warrior. Do you understand what I'm saying? He fights for what's important. And if we're going to follow him, we got to fight the right battles. How do we fight? I could talk for hours about that, but let me give you a verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Please hear what I'm saying. Although we lead normal human lives, the battle we are fighting is on a spiritual level. This is not a natural fight. And it's so funny how often people will try to get you into a natural fight. But the battle is not won in the natural. The battle's won spiritual. The very weapons that we use are not those of human warfare, but powerful in God's warfare for the destruction of the enemy's strongholds. I tell you, when Jesus died on the cross for you, he brought victory into your life. He broke the power. That was a spiritual victory. Are you living in the reality of that spiritual victory? That wasn't a political victory. It wasn't a natural victory. That was a spiritual thing. The most powerful battles are spiritual. The most powerful victories are spiritual. So how do we fight? Did you know that prayer is a weapon? You fight on your knees. Did you know that praise is a weapon? You know that what was happening here, if we could peel back the layers of the visible and the invisible to see what was actually happening, as people who here today are broken and hurting and scared and going through every kind of trial and every temptation, still had the courage to lift their hands and say, Lord, I trust you. I've been battling anxiety. I'm fighting financial battles. My family is breaking, but you are still worthy, Lord. You are awesome. Do you have any idea the magnitude of the power power that that releases when you stand up and sing. There's power in your praise. There's power in the Bible. The scripture itself is a, Paul called it the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pick up your promise. Pick up your Bible verse. And know that you can fight just as Jesus fought against the enemy when he was under attack from the enemy 40 days in the wilderness and the enemy came. And what did Jesus use? He drew the sword of the Spirit and he quoted scripture straight at the enemy. He corrected the enemy. He devastated the enemy with truth. I'm not talking about a natural battle. You don't have to roll up your sleeves in the natural and get angry and all of that stuff. That's all the soulish realm. What you need to do is fight on your knees. Fight with your praise. Fight with the promises of God. Declare the promises. My son is backslidden. My family's going crazy. Speak the word of God. Speak the blessings of God over your family. And fight the bats and the owls and the demons that hit you at night in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. He comes and he whispers, you're a failure. It's not going to work. Don't pay the bully. Get on your knees and fight. And don't accept Satan's will for your children and Satan's plan for you. You fight with everything and don't you dare back up. Don't you dare give up. You hold your ground. Activate the wild warrior on the inside of you. There are so many weapons. I'm out of time, but let me just read to you James chapter 4. This is a warfare verse. I'm talking about the kind of warfare that we need to understand. James 4, 7, and 8, humble yourselves before God. Some of us, that's a weapon right there, humility. If we could ever truly humble ourselves. Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil. You know what he's saying right there? Don't pay the bully. He's saying you fight back. You resist him. Resist the devil and he will what? Yeah, it works. You stand up to it. You say like we sang today, not today, Satan. Not this family. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart. Get your life together. Get off the fence. Stop living with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. One foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world. Make your decision to be all in for God. Come on, somebody. Because you can't play both sides in a battle. You can't be Switzerland. I just want to be neutral. Well, that you're just paying the devil off. You got to take your stand, know what you believe, and stand strong in it. Wash your hands, purify your hearts. Your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let me hurry. What are we fighting for? What is our cause as a wild warrior? What's the purpose of our fight? I think in a cosmic sense, in a 50,000 foot level, I think we have to be reminded that as God's people, the following issues are the real things that we're actually fighting for. To impart the gospel message with power and demonstration. We're fighting to live a holy and pure life. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're fighting to engage all of God's enemies, visible and invisible, through prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit, bold prayer, intercession, and spiritual warfare. I challenge you to attend a prayer meeting. I challenge you to activate your prayer life. That's where the battles of life are fought and won. Fasting and prayer. To advance the kingdom of God while disarming and defeating Satan, to boldly evict the enemy's presence and dispel the darkness in people's lives, in cities and in territories. 3 years ago, the Lord called us to start not just fight for one city, but to take on cities. And in those 3 short years, we've now got expression and involvement in 6 cities. How fast is this happening? 3 years ago, we were in 2 cities. And I'll tell you, there's been battles. There's been pressures, but I wouldn't change it for the world, because we're fighting for people. Amen. We're fighting for cities. We're fighting to see people saved. And God is helping us. Are we getting it right? Absolutely not. But we're going straight ahead. And if we mess up, the Lord helps us. Hallelujah. Who are we fighting for? Look at 2 Samuel. Be courageous. Let us fight bravely for our people. Everybody say our people. Who are your people? Are you a critic? Who are your people? Are you an evaluator? Are you just for yourself? Are you for anybody? Who are your people? Fight for them. Fight for your family. Fight for your community. Fight for your city. Nehemiah said, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord God, great and awesome. Fight for your brothers. Too often we're turning on our brothers. We got a problem with our brother. Jesus said, forgive your brother. Your battle's not with him. Get into the real battle. Fight the real fight. Remember your brother, fight for them, your sons, your daughters, dads, moms, fight for your children. Don't make any deals with the bully. I'm warring for my son to come into his destiny. I'm warring for my daughter to come into her destiny. She's not gonna be a drug addict. She's not gonna die of her addiction. Not today, Satan. He's not going to be lukewarm. He's not going to be backslidden. I'm declaring as a warrior on my knees, not today, Satan. Well, I hope everything turns out all right. Well, we'll see what happens. That's not the warring spirit that we need. Get in touch with your wild side. Flip a table every once in a while. Not here, of course, but. John Piper, great quote from John Piper. Put it up on the screen. The greatest cause in the world is joyfully rescuing people from hell, meeting their earthly needs and making them glad in God, and doing it with a kind, serious pleasure that makes Christ look like the treasure he is. Can we spend our time doing that? Don't try to pull me into the other fights. There's a lot of fights. Part of being a warrior is picking and choosing your battles. I don't have time for every fight. A smart warrior knows where the decisive battles are won. I'm going to promise you the great battles in the world are fought and won by praying people that obey the promptings of God, not the cause of the day. Jesus only did what the Father told him. And he never lost. So don't engage in every battle. Fight the battles that God draws you into. Let me close with this. Four marks of wild warriors. You getting anything out of this today? I have to hurry. I told you I'm going to help you. How am I helping you? You're telling me about a fight, Pastor. I don't like it. I'm telling you, don't pay off the bully. You stand your ground. Don't you dare back up. If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. And that's going to help your life. Four marks of God's wild warriors. One, they belong to God. You belong to God, and he fights for you. I want you to know he's wild, and he's wild about you. He fights for you. You have defeated these enemies because you belong to God, John said. Number two, they are courageous. They feel the fear. But they do it afraid. They do it scared. They master their fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the mastery of it. I feel fear, but I do it anyway. If you're going to fight, don't think that there's something wrong with you if you're scared. Everybody's scared of the battles. But God says, be courageous, be bold. Number three, they depend on God. Don't fight in your own strength. Don't fight with your own human anger. Don't depend on your personality and your IQ and your cleverness. You depend on God. For it is he that will give us the victory. And Jesus, the wild warrior, said this, I have given you, does this sound like lamb language or lion language? I have given you authority to trample on snakes. Well, that makes me uncomfortable. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. I like that he didn't say nothing will hurt. Graduates, it hurts, but it doesn't harm. Get out there and fight. Hallelujah. The last 2 years, it hurt a little bit, didn't it? Tuesday night, come along. You're tired. It hurts to go. But it didn't harm you, did it? You're strong. Congratulations. Nothing will harm you. Don't rejoice just that you have victory over the demons, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. And finally, they have the spirit of faith. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. And Jude said, fight with everything you have for this faith. There's a wild side of God. And part of his wildness is the fight that love always fights. Let him fill you with his love. Let him fill you with his victory. And go out there this week. Will you do this? Don't pay the bully. Stand for the things that are important and fight to win. Come on, somebody. Can I read you one last verse? Ephesians chapter 6 in the Passion Translation. Let this just settle down on you. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Come on. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, husbands, wives, teachers, professionals. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. It goes on, for they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God has, that God provides, so that you're protected as you confront the slanderer, the bully. For you are destined, watch this, here's your promise, you are destined for all things, and you will rise victorious. Go ahead and fight back. Fight on your knees, because you will be victorious. Bow your heads, everybody. Father, I thank you for this time and your word. Your word gives us life. Your word gives us courage. Your word gives us hope. We have a hope. Lord, I know that life can be so challenging. I've been there. I've been exhausted. I have felt so defeated on so many days. But Lord, I thank you that whenever we resist the enemy, he will flee from us. Lord, we pray for a second wind of your holy power. I pray for every person that's in a spiritual battle today, Lord. I pray that you will awaken love in us and awaken the warrior in us, Lord. In this fight of faith, would you grace us with the power of Jesus? Help us to follow him always. Thank you, Father. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I can't imagine ending this service without giving every single person online, here in the auditorium, an opportunity to get off the fence. Like I said, I don't think people choose to live a compromised life. I think we make the choice, but we kind of drift more than we decide. But every once in a while, you have to tune it up. You got to turn it around. You got to say, what am I doing? How did I get into this? This isn't God. This isn't what God has for me. And you always will need your Savior, Jesus Christ. Whether you're lost in sin and you've never known him, or you know him, but you've become entangled, he wants to set you free today. And I want to pray for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If that's you, if you're away from God, and you know that decision is just waiting to be made, I've got to decide who I'm going to serve. Will you choose Jesus today? Will you open your heart to him? Will you invite him to take the throne of your life, make him Lord and Savior? Will you make that choice? If you will, raise your hand. Heads are bowed, but raise your hand. I'm making that choice. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to pray for you if you raise your hand. 3, 4, 5, 6. I need you, Lord. I need Jesus. Thank you. 7, 8. I need you, Jesus. I'm getting off the fence. 9, 10. Thank you, Lord. I trust you. 11. Thank you, Jesus. Would you put your hands down? Father, I pray a special prayer for people on the border. We've all sinned. We've all messed up. We don't excuse it. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We repent. We turn. We cry out to you, God, forgive us. Change us and deliver us, we pray. We receive you, Jesus, as the Lord of our lives. Everyone say this, Jesus. Say, Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I mean it, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Father. We've decided. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. There's about 10 or 12 people that made a really important decision today. Could you tell them that was exactly the right thing? Before we go, I just want to say your decision is important. You heard about a card earlier in the service that says, I've decided. If you're deciding to serve the Lord, I'd sure like to know about it. I want to help you any way I can. I want you to register. Let that be your testimony. I've decided to follow Jesus. Pull that card out. Take it to the Welcome Center in the lobby. We have some material to help you. And if you're new in the church, I'd love to if I've never shaken your hand, I'd love to shake your hand just right here at the end of the service. I'll be back after we receive the offering. Pastor Chris and I are going to speak a blessing over you. God bless you. Let's worship.
Amen. Thank you for that word, God. Thank you, Lord. You tell broken things be healed and they're whole.
Yes, Lord.
You tell fear it has no place, it must go.
Amen. Let's lift up a praise to God on a Sunday morning. There's a wild, wild God we serve, and there's an anointing for us. Come on, let's lift it up one more time and thank Pastor David. Give God praise. Amen. You know what? I sensed it in the first service. I sense it again here today. A lot of people want to learn how to conduct and engage in this, was what Pastor was sharing this morning. I encourage everybody to come to Saturday morning prayer. We start at 6, we go from 6 to 8. It'll change your life, I tell you what. And how many want to believe God for that wild to be able to engage that victory? In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, we have our prayer team up here. Also, for those that are brand new today or maybe the last several weeks, we have a welcome weekend station over to your right. Pastor David and I will be there. We have a gift for all those that are brand new. We'd love to meet you, share with you a little bit about Gateway, and meet you. So God bless you for coming out this morning. Let's all pray. Father, right now we just seal up that which we heard today. Lord, we know when we hear the word, the enemy wants to come and try to take it away, but we say no, not today. Not today, not in this house. And Lord, we just ask your blessing and your grace over every individual that we leave this day, Lord, going into this week with the strength of your Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. And let there be a quickening, Father God, of what we heard so that we can be the warriors you've called us to be. We speak that blessing over everybody here today, Father, the children, the babies, all of Gateway. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Gateway, have a great week. Welcome weekend over to your right. Come get some prayer. God bless you. See you next week.